A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 75. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Dark Season. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
A quiet English school becomes the subject of a strange experiment, and we wonder, what is the secret of the mysterious Mr. Eldritch who shows up, and why is he giving away computers so freely, and what secrets do these computers hold?
And that's basically the setup for this BBC series from 1991. It was a children's BBC show, a science fiction series. We've got 6 episodes to talk about. They were about 25 minutes each, so it's not a terribly long series. And those 6 episodes were divided into 2 3-part stories, which we're going to get to in a moment.
That's right. And there were several characters that were in both stories. So you had sort of the main group of characters and 1 or 2 other characters, and that tied things together. And of course, something else that makes this a bit of a notable show is that it was written and produced by Russell T. Davies, who famously went on to relaunch Doctor Who in 2005. And that relaunch is still going and still successful. And Russell T. Davies was a big part of it and the showrunner for that for several years. So it's interesting to look at some of his earlier work as well.
Yep, that's right. Another RTD show for us here on British Invaders. And in fact, his first writing for British television, really, certainly his first series by himself. And I think the first time we see him going into science fiction, which, of course, we now know him for so well.
That's right.
And the series we're going to be talking about, Dark Season, it's, as we say, it's a science fiction show, which is why we're here. But it's also got a detective story. It's like a children's detectives. Plus, there's some stuff about mind control and those computers that you've hinted at, Brian. And there's a few other little themes that Russell T. Davies throws in there about children struggling to be noticed and to be taken seriously in a very adult world, which is adds a few elements along the way.
Yes, that's right. So the story starts out with a very ordinary school in the east of England, and mysterious events start to unfold. Things are not quite normal, and there are some things that are a little strange.
Yeah, that's right. There's some unusual events going on, and strangely, or perhaps I suppose typically for a children's TV show, the adults don't seem to have much power to resist these strange events or to intervene in them. So it's very much left to the children to investigate what's going on. And we get this sort of trio of child detectives who are basically hunting down the mysteries and getting involved in the adventures, while most of their teachers, and certainly the head teacher, just seem to be going along with the mystery and the conspiracy that's behind it all.
Yes, we get this fairly common idea in children's television that the children who are the protagonists are well aware of what's going on, and they know that things are happening that are strange and that something is going wrong, where the adults are dismissive. And the adults think, no, there is nothing wrong, and nothing particularly strange is going on. The kids are just jumping to conclusions, and it's really all no big deal.
So our characters, we'll start with our child detectives. The lead character is a young girl who's a third former at the school called Marcy, played by the actress Victoria Lambert. And she's certainly a very inquisitive third former who memorably, as she says herself, she looks for the strangeness in everyday life. And she notices things that are unusual and don't seem to fit into a normal pattern. And slightly bizarrely, she seems to go everywhere with this canoe paddle sticking out of her backpack. which at first is a complete mystery as to why she's carrying it. I thought she was actually carrying a lacrosse stick, but it's a canoe paddle. But she memorably explains it a bit later on in the series, Brian, when somebody asks her why she's carrying it, and she says she's carrying a paddle in case she's ever caught up a creek without one.
Yes, exactly. It was actually one end of a kayak paddle, but they refer to it as a canoe paddle.
All right. Now, you Canadians are quite specific about that. We're less so over here, Brian.
I guess so. It was like her signature piece was that she has this paddle sticking out of her backpack, and she was always very, very outspoken and opinionated, and is always taking notes, and she's always very observant and looking for things, as you said, looking for the strangeness in everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also had two other children who are key. We have Thomas, played by Ben Chandler, who is a skateboarder in fifth form, so a couple years older than Marcy. And he's a bit of the eyes of the audience when asks things like, what's the drop? You know, the questions that the viewers would ask. And doesn't always get answers, but he's usually asking questions of Marcy, you know, kid with a skateboard and spiky bleach blonde hair. And the third person in the sort of main trio there is Reet, played by Kate Winslet. Yes, that Kate Winslet. And she's also in fifth form. And she's a little more cynical, but is sort of part of Marcy's little group. So Marcy's like the third former who has a couple of fifth formers following her around.
Yeah, that's right. A trio of investigators led by the irrepressible Marcy, and they form the sort of central gang. And they're a bit, you know, when I was watching it, I thought they were a bit like the Scooby-Doo team or maybe Buffy's gang, that sort of feel to it, as you know, a group of investigators.
It does have that feel to it. Remind us, for those of us who aren't in Britain, how old are third formers and fifth formers?
The fifth formers would be about 15, I guess. So Marcy is supposed to be 13 or so. And I think that sort of fitted in with the actress's age. And certainly Kate Winslet, it was 15 when she made this. Not quite her first television role, but certainly, you know, I think one of her first big parts. Although we have to say that she's almost unrecognisable in Dark Season from the Kate Winslet we now know as the Oscar-winning Hollywood actress.
Yes, I think that's fair. She was not bad in this, but she was much more of a typical teenage actress. You get a few glimpses here and there where she'll say something that's a little bit cynical, and it's actually sort of right in the nose, and sort of made me think, you know, oh, there's the actress that I know from a few years later when she was doing some of her other fairly early films. But this is very early for Kate Winslet, and she's certainly not like the actress that we know from later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very strange to see her here. And another reason to watch Dark Season, which we'll talk about later on. There's several other characters will pop up, but one we should mention is their teacher, Miss Maitland, played by the actress Bridget Forsyth. And their teacher is constantly trying to keep this trio out of trouble, trying to get them to err on the side of being sensible, but usually ends up just being dragged along by them into their adventures, almost unwittingly, really. Doesn't seem to be helping out, just seems to get involved and caught up in it, and again is dragged along by the irrepressible nature of Marcy.
Yes, Miss Maitland is usually the one who's saying, oh, there's nothing wrong here. These conspiracies and whatever other things that you see are just things that you're imagining, and there are simpler explanations. So she's sort of the one who is caring and, you know, is interested in the students, but is sort of dismissive of their ideas in these types of matters that they deal with in the stories.
But she also acts as a sort of adult presence as well, to provide some reassurance that they'll hopefully be all right at the end of it all.
Yes.
Not that she seems to have much control over that.
Something wrong. I don't know what. Something just out of sight.
It's Mondays. Mondays are always wrong. Mondays are a crime.
The only good Monday is a Monday in bed. But you two are no help. All you can do is quote Garfield T-shirts. Think for a moment.
But everything's normal.
Normal. Normal is for the comatose. If I'm to teach you two anything, it's this. Wherever you are, whoever you are, there is always a strangeness in things. You just have to know where to look. Now take this. A yogurt pot.
Fruits of the forest.
In the street. In the street. Crisp packets in the street, Coke tins in the street, yes, but a yogurt pot? Now think, when have you ever, ever seen someone walking down the street eating a yogurt? Huh?
So we should get into the first story, Brian, the first three episodes of Dark Season. And as you've said in the introduction, we've got this strange arrival at the children's school. We've got a mysterious benefactor who turns up and announces that he's going to be donating a free computer to every classroom and to the home of every pupil. And that's really how the story begins with, as we've said, the sort of the headmaster and the teachers mostly going along with this, but Marcy and some of the others finding it a bit strange.
Yes, this is the mysterious Mr. Eldritch, played by Grant Parsons, a tall guy with bleached blonde hair and dark sunglasses, dark clothes, you know, dark long trench coat, and this fairly stereotyped imposing villain type. And he is the owner of the Abyss Modem Company. They are selling these computers, and they are giving, you know, one sort of full-size computer to each classroom and one little home computer, which is like a little portable, to the home of every student. So they're giving things away like there's no tomorrow, which raises these questions of why is this businessman giving away so much stuff, you know, one of their new latest stuff. And, you know, who is this strange imposing character, Mr. Eldritch?
That's right, because the episode begins, or the first story begins, with more or less with the vans arriving at the school and these boxes of computers being unloaded, with most of the teachers not really paying a great deal of attention, and certainly it's left to Marcy to puzzle about this and to see the strangeness, as we've said, in everyday life. And why is this chap suddenly giving them all these computers? And of course we get a hint fairly early on from another character called Dr. Osley, played by Tim Barker, and he is Mr. Eldridge's chief scientist, and he's very much the yes man as well, but he's also, he reveals, I think, quite quickly that there's some form of experiment going on, and that the computers are some form of experiment, and as such the school itself is going to form part of Mr. Eldridge's experiment. So there's some mystery and some sinister goings-on sort of hinted at.
Yes, they're doing something strange and experimental, which is where we start getting into science fiction ideas. And we see Eldritch and Osley in sort of Eldritch's lair, I guess. You know, this sort of dark control room with sort of a futuristic look to it. And we also notice Marcy's neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Polzinski, and they are clearly curious about what's going on, and they seem to be somehow involved, but we're not quite sure how. And Mr. Polzinski is played by Cyril Shapps, who has been on Doctor Who over the years many times, going back into the 60s even, and has had all kinds of film and TV appearances. So it was really neat to see an appearance by Cyril Shapps there.
Yeah, they're quite interesting, the Polzinskis, because there's clearly, as you say, there's something going on there. They seem quite afraid about something that's happening, but we don't find out what that is at first. But they'll be important as the story goes along. So it's, you know, there's sinister stuff. There's something strange and mysterious happening. There's another student involved who's a very keen and sort of like dedicated student called Olivia, And she becomes the first sort of test subject for Mr. Eldritch's experiment with these new computers. And that'll be quite a dramatic change when she returns to the school, and certainly giving Marcy and most of the others the idea that something's up, something is not quite right.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, Marcy and Olivia, who are both third form students, they have some competition going on between them too.
Yeah.
Of course.
So without wanting to give too much away from the rest of the plot, you can see that we're off and running with this strange science fiction experiment involving computers and some sort of sinister mystery beneath that. And as you can imagine, because these are three 25-minute episodes, they get on with the mystery quite quickly, Brian. It all happens fairly fast.
Yes, they do. And there's some cute stuff there.
Yeah, and there'll be a neat twist along the way, which I quite liked, which we'll perhaps talk about more when we talk about some of Russell T. Davies's themes that he introduces later on. So it's you know, it's an interesting story. It moves along very quickly for three episodes. And we perhaps shouldn't say too much more about it, otherwise we'll be getting into spoilers.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get into some production notes. Russell T. Davies is someone we've talked about before on British Invaders. We talked about him in episodes 61 and 62 for Century Falls, which was actually a show that he did a couple of years later that was an interesting one as well. But at the time in 91, you know, early 90s, Davies was a BBC producer in Manchester. He had been working on a children's medical show called Children's Ward and another children's show called Why Don't You? And he was doing production work. He wasn't writing, but he was working on a couple of shows at the time.
But as we mentioned before, he really wanted to write for television, and he came up with the sort of pilot episode, or the script for a pilot episode of Dark Season, which he sent to the head of the BBC Children's Television Programming, a woman called Anna Home. And she quite liked the pilot script and commissioned him to write six episodes. And I think she had in mind that there was going to be a slot in the BBC schedules coming up, which was because a very successful children's show called Maid Marian and Her Merry Men was going to be taking a break because the writer and producer of that show, Tony Robinson, who's perhaps best known to us for playing Baldrick on Blackadder, wanted to take a break from the show. So she knew there was a slot coming up, and she saw Dark Season as a perfect filler for that.
Oh, right. I remember Maid Marian and Her Merry Men. It had Danny John Jules from Red Dwarf in it.
That's right, yes, the cat himself.
So Dark Season was produced by Richard Callanan and directed by Colin Cant. Both of them would go on to work with Russell T. Davies again in Century Falls a couple of years later. It was filmed in an empty school in Surrey with some set work at Ealing Film Studios.
And the empty school really helps it, I think, because it just looks like a traditional British secondary level school. So all the stuff that's filmed there on location looks great. And the set work, like Mr. Eldritch's dark, sinister control room and so on, is also reasonably well done. There's not too much in the way of wobbly sets here, Brian.
Yeah, the sets and the location work did work reasonably well. And I believe it was all done on video in this case.
Right.
It had that look to it.
Yeah, it does look like that, doesn't it? Yeah, it's got that clean video look. So it's stood up quite well over the last 20 years or so. We've got music written by David Ferguson, who we also talked about because he wrote the rather haunting theme to Century Falls when we discussed that in British Invaders 61 and 62. And that music, quite dramatic science fiction music, is linked to an interesting title sequence, Brian, which we probably should mention, really.
Yes.
We're going to get into this a bit later on when we talk about, you know, Russell T. Davies and Doctor Who. But there does seem to be a Doctor Who influence on the opening sequence of Dark Season and the music.
Yeah, it has the sort of swirling effect. Almost a tunnel, not quite a tunnel.
It's almost there. It's almost getting there, isn't it?
It does have a bit of that look.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is fine. And we do know that Russell T. Davies had long been a Doctor Who fan at this point.
Yes, it's almost as if he said, I want something that's like the opening of Doctor Who, but not quite. And David Ferguson and the graphics designer came up with something similar.
Right. And Dark Season was broadcast in November and December of 1991.
Yep, six episodes, as we've said, 25 minutes each. So, you know, a short slot in children's television and a neat little series.
Yes, so I think that brings us to our conclusion for the first half of our Dark Season discussion.
So come back and join us next time when we're going to go on to discuss the second three-part story and get into some of the plot there, because it's there's a sort of like a linking part to it. We've got the similar characters or the same characters cropping up.
That's right. And we will point out a few points of similarity between what RTD did with Dark Season and what he later did with the relaunch of Doctor Who. There's some interesting things to say there as well.
And as ever, we've got our own comments on the show, our recommendations and reviews, plus details of how you can watch it if you're interested. All stuff to get to next time.
Yes. So, you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Do check back next time. Until then, this is Eamon from England saying goodbye.